Hey everyone, welcome to the NPFCC Messages podcast. In our series, God and Sexuality, we're looking at God's heart for His design, how God is the creator of our sexuality, and how His design for it is beautiful and good. We know this is a sensitive topic in our culture today, and it's broader than we can cover in just four messages. So we created a resource page you can check out at npfcc.org/God and Sexuality. This webpage has links to our recommended reading list, as well as a place for you to submit questions that we'll discuss on April 23rd and May 7th after the service. But thanks again for tuning in to this message, and we're praying for you as you absorb it.
So, hey, I just want to welcome everybody this morning. I know some of you maybe came last week for the first time and are with us. Welcome. If you're with us online, welcome. And by the way, we can... If you are with us online, just know, too, that you can go to the Bible app, and that goes for all of you in the room, and you can find notes and stuff for today. Today, you have a note sheet on your seat if you're here in the room, and I encourage you to take that out. You're going to want to follow along with that today. And we're glad you're here this morning. If you're here for the very first time, or maybe you came at Easter and thought, okay, I'll give this another try, well, hey, you picked a doozy of a week, okay? Because today we're beginning a new teaching series called God and Sexuality. Yep, we're going to go there, right? I told Devin I wanted to play that song that says, let's talk about sex, but I'm not going to sing it, but thought I might get in too much trouble. We need to go there. And I would be lying this morning if I told you that I'm not just a little bit nervous about the topic, right? I'm not afraid at all. A little bit nervous about it. Number one, I have daughters in the room, and my mom might be watching online. And so, you know, and I doubt any of you in the room would trade spots with me this morning, right? What I am nervous about is this, I know that if I do this right, if I present what God has to say through His word about sexuality, and I do it clearly, then the reality is that at some point, many of you will not like what you hear. Many will disagree at some point. And I want you to know that's okay. If you're here and you disagree, that's fine. I'm just glad you're here. And we need to learn to be able to talk about and understand our differences of opinion, but here what you are going to get is you're going to get what we believe is the truth of God's word. And what I truly believe is I'm also, you know, most of you will be uncomfortable. Okay, just know this, is when you get uncomfortable about what you might hear, just know that the guy standing up on stage is probably twice as uncomfortable having to say it, okay? But I'm also excited. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm also very excited about this series because I believe this series has the potential to provide clarity, healing, hope, and blessing to so many people who are being held captive by sexual confusion, shame, pain, and just wanting to grow in that area of their lives. Now, this is a really good time for me also to remind you that this series is PG rated. Okay, PG-13. Excuse me. If there are children in the room under 13, I would tell you that it's a great time for you to discover our amazing children's program right downstairs. Okay, and it is amazing. They do an amazing job down there. We've asked our middle school and our high school students to join us because they are dealing with the world at a deeper level than most of us do on a daily basis, and we want them to know that the church is not afraid and is a safe place to talk about these things. And students, I know a bunch of you are sitting over here, so I'm going to address you guys. We recognize that the world today is very different. It's way different than the one I grew up in, that you are facing pressures and your world is filled with more sexual temptation, more sexual information, more sexual confusion than ever before. I also know that there's a lot of people in this room who are rooting for you, right? I know there's a lot of people in this room right now that could tell you stories about how they wish they could go back to where you're sitting right now and make different decisions about their sexuality. And that they would tell you, don't listen to the world. God really does have your best interest in mind. Follow him, and you can get it right the first time and save yourself from a lot of pain and suffering. And so we want you to know we're here for you. We always want you to feel comfortable having conversations about things like this in the church, because this is what it means to be the family of God. So the rest of you, just to show them your support, would you let them know how much you love them? Yeah. So we are here for you guys, and we want God's best for you. So we've also, during this series, we've created a resource page on our website where you can find a list of resources, books, blogs, videos, all kinds of things for deeper study in various topics. And we can't cover everything in 4 weeks. We're just going to scratch the surface, but I think it'll be super useful. I will tell you that a book that I've appreciated that's kind of helped me in terms of just outlining where we're going and kind of just been a kind of a street sign of, you know, pointing me in the right direction. It's a really good book called Rethinking Sexuality, God's Design and Why It Matters by Dr. Julie Slattery. And it's just, it's one of the resources on there. And each week I'll kind of share with you a little bit more about resources that are there. Also, because we know that there are a lot of questions that we don't have time to answer, and it's hard in a setting like this, we want to facilitate conversation, right? I'm going to do most of the talking here, but we want to facilitate conversation, and not just a Q&A, right? We're not going to walk into a room and just say, okay, you ask questions, we'll give you answers. We need conversation about this area. And so we've arranged two discussion times. One is next Sunday, right after service, and we'll start at noon. I think it's going to be in this room. And then we'll end right at 2, because I have somewhere to go next week. So if you have a question you really want us to address, go online to that resource page, and there's a place that you can fill out a little form with a question. Because what we'll do is we'll take those questions, we'll look at those, and we'll take those first. And then if there's time, we'll address other things as well. And you can submit a question or make a comment that you want us to address. Just go to mpfcc.org/God and Sexuality, all lowercase, all together. And we want to create a safe place for conversation to happen. Because there's one thing that I know, is that in our world today, it's really easy, because of all the varying ideas about sexuality, with all of the confusion, with all of the division and all of that stuff, that oftentimes, unfortunately, we just take positions and we don't dialogue well. And if we're going to help the world encounter Jesus, I actually think through this kind of discussion, this is a great way to do it, because there's a lot of people out there that have questions, that are confused, that are struggling, that have pain, and we have a God who wants to erase the shame and the suffering and the pain and bring us back to life in a way that shows us his great design and bless us in this area of our life. And I know that we have a lot of people at different levels of pain and different levels of experience. So that's what's kind of happening. That's just a quick overview. Today is kind of a introduction to the whole topic, and then I'll share with you later kind of where we're going from here. But before we kind of just dive into the content this morning, I just feel the need to pray one more time as we kind of do this. If you would, pray with me and pray for me as we dive in to this. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for being the all-knowing one, the creator, the one who has the world and our life in your hands. Thank you, God, that you love us, that, Father, you want our best, that, God, you have built sexuality into our lives, And thank you, Father, for the good gift that it is. Father, forgive us. Forgive us when we don't trust you. Forgive us when we think our ideas are better than yours. Forgive us when we follow the world's temptations. And Father, we chase after things that bring quick enjoyment, but only end in pain and suffering and shame. And Father, help us to trust you more, Father, so that we can experience the true love and intimacy that you want us to experience. Father, thank you, Father, that you gave us your word as a guide. Help us, Father, help me, Father, to do a good job of helping us understand what your word says so that we can put it into practice. Father, we love you and we thank you. Pray you would guide this whole discussion and make sure that the evil one is not in this place. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a little second grade kid, let's just call him Johnny, came home from school one day, and he walked into the kitchen with a perplexed look on his face, and he asked his mommy, "Mommy, where did I come from?" The mom did what any parent of a second grader would do in this situation, and she freaked out. And the next thing you know, she was telling Johnny the whole birds and the bees story about how he came into existence. And when she was done, she looked down at little Johnny, who had these gigantic eyes, who was staring at her in absolute shock. And she says, "Wow, Mom, Jimmy told me he came from Cleveland." So what this illustration, I had to do something to make us laugh here first, right? What this illustration reminds us of is this, that when it comes to conversations about sex and sexuality, most of us are ill-prepared. We don't ask the right questions, and we often overload people with information they're not ready for, right? And that just seems to be what happens. And so part of this is we want you to have the right information, especially when it comes to God's word. So why a series on God and sexuality? I mean, are we really supposed to talk about this stuff in church? And the answer is absolutely. This is the best place to talk about it because this is the place where we serve the God who created it. Well, first of all, let's just agree there's a lot of confusion, disagreement, and pain and brokenness of many of us in the area of sexuality and in our world. In fact, to some degree, I believe that all of us are impacted by sexual brokenness. Things that we have thought, so there's things in our thought life, things that we have done in our past, things that have been done to us. Others are things that we have been taught that give us a warped idea, give us warped attitudes and actions and beliefs in regard to sexuality. I mean, I remember my first exposure to what I would consider, you know, sexuality. I think I was 7 years old, and the next door neighbor kid was 10. And there was this space in between our two homes that we used to always play and hang out. And one day he comes running out and he had commandeered a couple of his dad's Playboy magazines. I'd never seen one of those before. And before I knew it, he opened it up to the centerfold and said, "Look at this." And I did, right? And I looked at that. And there was this weird feeling inside me of both excitement and bewilderment and shame and everything all in one moment. And then he proceeded to tell me, play by play, how sex worked, right? I took one step back, and I pointed at him, and I said, "You're a liar," right? Because that can't be possible. And so then I ran into my house, and I told my mom what the friend had just told me, right? My mom, who panicked for a moment, said, "Well, you need to have a conversation with your father." Right? I remember feeling this sense of this excitement and shame. What am I supposed to do with all these feelings? What's crazy is he gave me some information that was absolutely not true. He basically told me that how you had babies is you had to rub women's breasts, right? I was like, man, I don't want to get near any of that, right? And I was like, so there's lots of misinformation when you're kids, right? And there's lots of misinformation. And the world is spitting out all kinds of misinformation. It's just so much more prevalent today. What's crazy about that situation is, to this moment, I can still, with crystal clarity, picture him, that picture, and those feelings that I had in that moment. Because there's something very powerful about sexual emotion and sexual feelings that sear these things into our minds. And there is a reason that God created that way, and we'll dive into that over the next few weeks as well. Most people, they bury their experiences deep down inside, and they carry scars of sexual pain and shame with them for a lot of their lives. And we feel like we have to keep that part hidden, because somewhere we believe in the lies of the evil one who continues to shame us with that. And I want you to know this morning that God wants to set you free from that. As I meet with people all the time, many are struggling with a whole host of questions and situations about sexuality that they feel unprepared to answer. Questions like, I've been invited to a same-sex wedding. How can I love and support that person but still hold to my faith convictions? Should I go? Or the guy who longs for sexual intimacy in his marriage, but his wife wants nothing to do with sex because of past sexual trauma, and he wonders, God, how could you allow me to feel so isolated in my own marriage? Or there's the young person who feels that they've always felt a little differently and starts to wonder if maybe they're gay. They grew up in a Christian home and they love Jesus, but how are they supposed to deal with this same-sex attraction? Or the parent who just finds out that their child is struggling with that, how in the world are they supposed to deal with it? Or the wife who discovers that her husband is addicted to pornography. She feels hurt, betrayed, cheated, but wants to save their marriage, but how? You know, statistics tell us that 3 out of 10, at least, men ages 18 to 30 are addicted to pornography. It's one of the pressing issues in our society when it comes to sexuality that's giving people all kinds of issues and problems. Or then there's the single person who day after day after day prays and wonders why God isn't answering their prayer to find somebody to have a relationship with. These and a whole other host of questions are now regular parts of the cultural landscape that we live in. And the church needs to provide people with real and solid biblical answers to the questions that they have to bring them hope and healing. We live in a highly sexualized culture. I mean, just think about entertainment and advertising and our education system. We've come a long way from the 1950s where I Love Lucy show, even a married couple slept in separate beds because showing a couple sleeping in the same bed was way too suggestive. Then just 10 years later, the 1960s ushered in the sexual revolution, which was fueled by postmodernism and humanism, which taught us to throw off any external standard of truth or fixed ideas of right and wrong, to give each person the freedom to define our own truth and our own morality. Much of what we're seeing today in regard to secular sexual ethic is the logical progression of throwing off all boundaries, even biological realities of maleness and femaleness, and becoming whatever we think we want to be. And the reality is this: when it comes to sexuality, we unfortunately have been discipled by our culture more than by the God who created sex and his unchanging word that meant to bring us life to the fullest. And while the culture and all of its ideas and practices have continued to evolve, the church, unfortunately, has remained silent. Or the church has spoken truth in an unloving and oftentimes condemning way that have pushed people away from hearing God's message of life-giving love and sexual intimacy that God has designed to bless your socks off. And a gospel message that brings hope and healing when needed. You know, growing up, I never heard a sermon on sex in church. We would talk about marriage, we would talk about parenting, finances, family, all those things, but we danced around talking about sex in church. We never spoke about sexual addiction, sexual abuse, sexual dysfunction, sexual orientation, same-sex attraction, sex trafficking, sexual harassment, masturbation, pornography, cohabitation. The church's message was an emphatic, don't go there. No one ever really told us about God's amazing plan for sexuality and what a blessing it could be if we just trusted God with it. As a youth pastor for years, every year, we would do a series on love, sex, and dating. And I have to admit that the same message, we had the same message every year. And it was always love, always. Dating, maybe. Sex, no. Right? And that's what it was like. That was the mantra every single time. And I am confessing to you this morning that in my 12 years even as lead pastor, I haven't done a sermon series on sexuality. And I have to admit that I'm sorry for that. I'll admit to avoiding the topic every once in a while for fear of coming across either too judgmental or being too judged by others, maybe offending other people or being seen as out of touch or even prudish or something. What I've realized is that the church's silence has oftentimes reinforced the belief that sex is a dirty and ungodly thing that we shouldn't talk about. So people look elsewhere for guidance. But while the church has been silent, the Bible is not silent at all on the topic of sexuality. Well, the Bible has detailed conversations about the sins of adultery, lust, prostitution, rape, premarital sex, homosexuality, even bestiality, and all kinds of sexual immorality. But the Bible also talks about, the blessing of sexual pleasure in marriage. You know, I remember in middle school, I remember sitting in church one Sunday as a middle schooler, and I saw my friends who were just down the aisle, and they were giggling about something. And I kind of looked at them funny, and they passed me this little teeny piece of paper that had written on it, Proverbs 5, 18 and 19. So I looked it up in my Bible, right? I'm in church. That's what you do. And here's what it said. It said, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breasts satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. And as a junior high boy, I'm like, whoa, like that's in the Bible? Like, why hasn't they ever told me about that? Like, you know? Then another slip of paper came, right? Song of Songs 7:7-8, that says, your stature is like that of a palm, and your breasts are like clusters of fruit. And then listen, it says, I will climb the palm tree and take hold of its fruit. And I'm like, I got to read my Bible more. Like, this is crazy, right? Here's the reality. There are parts of the Bible that are very sexual, very sensual, and they highlight God's great design, right? That sex is not something to be afraid of, or sex is not something that we don't talk about, but that God has said, this is good. Folks, God created sex for our good, and it is good if we trust him, and follow his instructions. When God tells us not to do something, it is not because he wants to take something away from you. When God says, don't do this, any of the commands or any of these areas where he talks about, hey, flee sexual immorality, all these other things, when God says that, what he's saying is this. He's saying, I don't want you to get hurt. That's what God is saying. God wants to love you and demonstrate to you that he has your good in mind. Thanks, Jim. I still got Mexico dust. when God tells us, hey, in the Bible, he says, hey, and this sex is a gift. It's a blessing for you. And he gives us instructions on what's important for us to know. And as the Christian educator Howard Hendricks said, we should not be ashamed to talk about what God was not ashamed to create. You know, another reason for a series on sexuality is we are created as sexual beings, okay? We're physical, we're sexual, there's so many other things, we're mental, we're emotional, but we are created as sexual beings. In Genesis 1, 27, 28, it says, so God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. Then listen, it says, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. You know how that happens, right? We don't have to go into that. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves along the ground. So what we learn from just that small verse about God's design and his intention is this. Number one is this. We're all created in God's image, every single one of us. We have to be careful to not treat people who we disagree with as if they're people who aren't created in God's image. All of us are created in his image. We all carry that divine DNA, right? The second thing is this. We were all created distinctively and purposefully male and female, right? So God gave us our sex. And it's a gift from him. And that's something that we need to understand about God's design. Then, in verse 3, God's gift of sex was part of his blessing to them. It says, he blessed them and said, he blessed them. And part of the blessing was, hey, be fruitful. And again, I'm not at all saying that sex is only for procreation, but God said, hey, I'm blessing you with this. This is a blessing from God. This is not something you have to be scared of. This is his blessing for your life. And then in Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 22, it says, the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. And then the Lord had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was his name. So the man gave names to all the livestock and the birds of the air and all the wild animals, but for Adam no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And then the Lord God made woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. Then he brought her to the man, and the man said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and she will be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And that is why a man leaves his father and mother, is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Man, there's a lot of amazing stuff in there about how God created us and about this whole idea of oneness that we'll be talking about over the next several weeks. This idea of becoming one flesh, which basically is a reference to sexual intercourse. And then I love the part, it says, Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. No shame. This is like sexual intimacy, sexual fulfillment, okay? This is sex without shame. God's design for sex is to be experienced in the covenant of marriage between one man and one woman. And I will unapologetically stand on that as biblical truth. But we will also proclaim God's unending grace, his forgiveness, and his hope for when we go astray. And we all need that at times. In Genesis 3:1, the devil shows up on the scene. I mean, think about it. Things were going great. Adam and Eve are running around paradise naked, feeling no shame, right? And then the devil shows up. And the devil calls into question God's good design, basically about everything. And he has a statement, did God really say? And this is the question that I think that the devil keeps asking and is throwing into our culture today, because it's like, well, did God really say flee sexual immorality? Did God really say that there's these boundaries around sexuality? Did God really say this? And the world is saying, hey, that's like, this is thousands of years old. Do away with that. You don't need that anymore. You can do whatever you want. Like, be free from all that. Let me tell you this. When the world tells you you can be free, what they're doing is giving you a fast pass into shame and incarceration. And I'm not talking like jail. It's just something that will lock you up and give you problems. But the reality is that God wants so much good for us. And yet the devil takes everything that God created as good and he tries to destroy it. And unfortunately, in the area of sexuality, we have a world that is going along with this program. I love the philosopher Soren Kierkegaard once said, to the extent that which anything can be good, it can also be used for evil. Sexuality was designed by God to be very, very, very good. That's why we have sex drives, right? And God created that for us, and it is designed to be great. But it can also, if flipped on its head, it can also, that same power, that same drive can be used to destroy us. And the devil knows that very well. And so he takes that drive that we've been given and he just puts that temptation in our lives and he works to destroy what God created for good. Now, here's what I believe, and this is where we're going to go over the next few weeks with this series. I believe that as Christians, what we need, and Dr. Slattery in this book, she espouses this idea that what we really need is, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to know that we are called to sexual discipleship. It's probably a term you haven't really heard before. Like, you don't think of sexual and discipleship in the same breath, right? Because we often think of God as spiritual, and he's over here somewhere, and then we think of sex and the physical as private, and we tend to separate these parts of our lives. It's almost as if God, like, you know, is with us everywhere except the bedroom, right? I heard one pastor say this, I thought it was hilarious. It wasn't as if God created man and woman, put them in the garden, and they were naked there, and then one day God came down, and he's like, you know, he sees all this wrestling around in the bushes over there, and he's like, oh my gosh, what are you guys doing over there? You know? I mean, no, God said, yes, that's what I created for you. But we tend to separate these parts of our lives. And we don't see sexuality and spirituality as coming together. One pastor, a guy named Kenny Luck, says this. He says that most Christian men he knows are what he calls sexual atheists. They attempt to involve God in other areas of their life, but when it comes to sex, they leave God completely out. So often we leave God out of this area of our lives until something goes wrong, and then we beg and plead with him to fix what we've broken. If we're going to truly follow God, we must surrender every part of our lives to him. And this includes our sexuality. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. It says this, it starts out and says, flee sexual immorality. We'll dive way into that next week. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Now listen to this part very carefully. You are not your own. Would you just repeat that line with me? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, it says. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. When it comes to being a disciple of Jesus, folks, you are not your own. You do not just belong to yourself. You don't just get to make any decision or redefine things the way you want to fit your emotional desires or needs. It doesn't even matter how strong that desire is or how strong that emotional tug or pull are. It doesn't even matter what the physical things going on inside of you say. You are still a disciple of Jesus. You're not your own. You don't get to define what is right and wrong. He does. And that is what discipleship truly means. It's in all areas, putting all of ourselves, including our sexuality, under the authority of Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. And if we do it, we receive his incredible blessings. And if we don't honor him with our bodies, then we will receive the same types of difficulties. I mean, if you're a follower of Christ, you aren't your own. Now, this does not fly well in our culture. And I know it has a lot packed into it, but think about that, I mean, in relationship to my body, my choice. But wait a minute, you are not your own. We're going to dive into this way deeper in a couple weeks because here's the reality. Husbands and wives, I hope you know this. The Bible says you are not your own. In fact, it actually tells you, husbands, that your body, yes, the physical body, yeah, belongs to your wife. And wives, your body belongs to your husband. That is the extent of the intimacy that God wants for us. The problem is if we don't understand God's plan well, we will use that to beat each other up and cause pain and suffering in our relationships, and God doesn't want that. If there was no other verse I would tell you to memorize out of this whole series, it would be this one. Just those words, you are not your own. As you make decisions about your sexuality, if you make decisions about your body and all those other things, you are not your own. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, okay, it's not just do whatever I want. Do whatever makes me feel good. Do whatever that I think is right in my own eyes. Go read the Old Testament. Every time they did what was right in their own eyes, things did not go well. And as a disciple of Jesus Christ, the decisions that we make about sexuality are not simply personal or emotional. Every decision that we make is a spiritual one, if you're a follower of Jesus. We must begin to understand sexuality in the context of the Christian narrative and the call to follow Jesus. So each week I'm going to give you some big questions to think about, to really ponder and think this over through the week. These are the three big questions for this week. Number one, do you believe that God created sex? Okay? Just think about this, right? Do you truly believe that God was the creator, the author of sex? Number two, do you believe that he, being God, knows what's best and has your best in mind? Do you believe that? Number three, will you trust your sexuality to the one who created it? We're not going to tell you where that leads today, but we'll go over that over the next few weeks. But this is the basis. If you're here today and, I don't know, maybe somebody said, hey, they're talking about sex at church today. You should come on over, right? Come and watch the pastor squirm today. I don't know. I don't know where everybody is. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then I just want to say, you know, we're glad you're here. And most of what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks, while I believe it always works because it's God's truth, it really is based for people who have made Jesus Lord of their lives. And here's what we need to, this is just a little teaser for what's going to happen back on in our last week. And followers of Jesus, listen carefully. You cannot ever expect people who are not followers of Jesus Christ to believe or act the way that the Bible tells us to. Okay? That is not something you can put on them, beat them into submission, yell and scream at them until they comply kind of thing, right? That is not how this works. With compassion, we need to demonstrate the life to the full that God has blessed us with in such a way and love our neighbors in such a way that they look at us and say, you know what? Man, my neighbor who's a Christian treats me with love and respect even though most of them already know that life's kind of a mess. And when the timing is right, give them the open invitation to come and have a conversation with you. I truly believe this is a huge area for evangelism in our culture today. There are so many people. There's so many people who are hurt. There's so many people who are struggling. There are so many people who are in pain because of wrong choices about sexuality. And they are looking for answers, but they're painfully living in silence and shame because they don't know where to go. And they don't want to go to the church because all they hear from the church is, don't do this and don't do this, and if you think this, then you're lost and going to hell kind of thing. We need to develop relationships with people so that they know that they are loved, that they know that they are created in the image of God, and if they will trust him as Lord, that he has a great design, that he has forgiveness and hope and healing that the world can never give them, that Jesus has the healing power that no, and I believe me, I do believe in psychology and counseling and all those things. I think they're wonderful tools. But that can never give you the fullness of hope and healing that Jesus can, because none of them died on a cross for you. Only Jesus did. So over the next few weeks, we will explore God's plan and his design for sexuality and what we're going to call sexual discipleship. Because as we follow Jesus, as we walk in his way, that we want to put our lives surrendered to him, and that's every area, including sexuality. So here's the approach we're going to take. Is next week we're going to look upward, and we're going to look at what God in his word says about sexuality. We're going to take a deep dive into Scripture. Those of you who like to geek out on all the theology stuff, yeah, that's your week, okay? I mean, we're going to dive into lots of stuff next week about what the Bible says about sexuality. Then the following week, we're going to look inward, okay? First week upward. Next week, that week after, inward. Knowing that biblical truth, what does that require of me? Like, if I know this is the biblical truth about sexuality, then how am I supposed to live that out, right? That will be, for some of you, a very freeing week, and for some of you, that'll be a hard week, right? How am I supposed to live in light of God's truth? And then the last week, we're going to talk about outward. So we got upward, inward, outward. Outward, we're going to talk about how do we, as followers of Jesus, respond to others who do not share our faith, to a world that is often contrary to what we believe, and how do we do that in a way that helps them encounter the love of Jesus and recognize his truth. And so that's how we're going to do this. Because, folks, we live in a world where every day, we come into contact with people who are hurting. People who have been hurt sexually. Some of them are sitting in this room right now. And we need to be able to tell them that God cares. That God cares about their sexual pain. That he can free them from their past. And that Jesus came to bring them good news. That God is for them. That God is not against them. That he loves them. And that his redemptive plan provides grace, forgiveness, healing, and wholeness. We have a mission, church. If you've been around here for a while, you know our mission is to help people find and follow Jesus. The reason is because when we help people find Jesus, we help them find the real answers. Our mission is not to convince people that having sex outside of marriage is sinful. After all, God didn't say, go into all the world and make virgins and heterosexuals out of everyone. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. Our mission is to exalt Jesus as the Lord and creator of everything, and that includes sexuality. To make him the savior of every area of our lives, including our sex lives. This series is not about giving people ammunition so they can go and battle with people who think differently than you are or living a different lifestyle. Now, this series is about helping all of us grow as followers of Jesus Christ and to understand what it means to live out our sexuality in the context of discipleship to Jesus. Every single one of us, no matter where you stand in this, you have room to grow. And folks, God loves you so much. You know, it's always interesting when Christmas comes around and you take a long time to pick out a gift for a grandkid. You know, and then they open it and they just play with the box. Right? And the whole time, you're just wishing they would understand what you've given them. And I was thinking about this week and just thinking how God longs to bring to us health and wholeness and forgiveness and take away any shame that we have because he wants what's best for us as his children. And that includes this area of our life. If you hear nothing else this morning, just hear this. God loves you and has a great plan for your sexuality. A plan to bless you and not curse you. A plan to bring you hope and a promise. Maybe this morning you're here and you're just reeling. You know, maybe stuff that we've talked about already, man, has just, the devil's been working overtime. You know, trying to shame you or trying to say, man, you got to get out of here as quick as you can. If that is you, man, then definitely don't listen to him because God's striking a chord, right? And we want to be there for you. Maybe you need healing from a past sexual hurt. Maybe this morning you need forgiveness for a past choice. Maybe you need to realize that you need forgiveness for a thought that you've just had. I mean, because all of us, I really don't believe that there's any of us that are free from some wrong sexual thought. And all of us need God to help us deal with those things and to free us so that those things don't take us prisoner. Maybe this morning you need to surrender your life to Jesus and accept him as Lord of your life so that he can do the work that he wants to do, which is to bring forgiveness and freedom and wholeness, to get rid of the shame and the pain. And he can do it, folks. He can do it. You know, one other thing I would encourage you, if some of this strikes a chord with you, is this afternoon, the Celebrate Recovery Step Studies start, I think at 1 o'clock. And you can talk to Juan or someone at the gazebo about more details about that. But if you've really been struggling with some of those things, I just encourage you, that's a great place where you can carefully and with care, biblically, dive into the roots of how to handle some of that. But this morning, if you just need prayer, you know, I know it sounds pretty embarrassing because you're like, oh man, if I walk up there, what are people going to think I did? Right? Can we just all admit that all of us are pretty broken and we all need healing, even in this area of our lives? We all struggle and we all sin in many ways and we need healing. So I just think it would be wrong this morning not to end our service with an opportunity for you to be prayed for, to come and to be able to talk with somebody. And whether it's a past pain or sin or shame or whatever that you're struggling with, or if it's something else going on in your life, maybe it's a health need that you have, maybe you want more information about what it means to follow Jesus so that you can experience his wholeness. And if that's you this morning, right now, I'm going to ask any of our elders, and if their spouses are with them, to just come on up and just kind of, you can even sit on the front, you know, thing here. Yeah, come on up now. And I can tell you this, because I know these people very well, is every single one of these people, guess what? They're broken just like you. And they'd all admit it. And that's what makes them good leaders. But here's the thing. They all love you and want the best for you. And if you need prayer this morning, if you need prayer this morning, I'd encourage you to come up and have some conversation with these folks. If you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus and make him Lord of your life, man, come this morning, because that is the beginning step to making this all work. So this morning, as we close, we're going to take communion together. And communion, man, it just simply reminds us and it screams to us God's incredible love. That our Savior went to the cross. Some of those past sins and shames that the devil keeps raking over your head, Jesus went to the cross to pay for that, to erase that, so that you would not have to carry that anymore. And that's why we take communion each week, is to remind us that our debt has been paid. And that the devil, like we sang, the devil has no hold on us. The only power the devil has is the power that you give him. And so this morning, together, let's take the bread that represents Jesus' broken body. And the cup that represents Jesus' shed blood with which he wiped away our sins. Let's take that together. And trust me in this. I just want to encourage you. I know it's hard to do in our schedules and calendars today. I just want to encourage you. Be here for the next 3 weeks as we unpack this. Because I believe that God wants to do something extraordinary in our lives and prepare us to help others to really live in the joy and the freedom that God has designed for us to live. And so this morning, as we close, we're going to sing another song. And as we do, if you want some prayer, I just encourage you. No one's going to think, you know, anything weird about you. Just if you need prayer, come up and receive prayer. Because God wants so much for you, and he loves you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for the way that you designed us. Thank you, Father, for our sexuality. Father, and again, we need your guidance, your help, Father, to understand your design so that we can live in it and really experience the wholeness, the healing, the intimacy and the love that you want us to live in. God, thank you that you're a forgiving and graceful God. Thank you, Father, that you have a design, that you have a plan, and that, Father, thank you that you want to bless us in that. We pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the NPFCC Messages podcast. If you'd like to support the work of our church, head to npfcc.org/give to make a one-time or reoccurring gift. For more information about us, you can always check out our website at npfcc.org. Again, that's npfcc.org.